On behalf of the members of the Hickory Hills Presbyterian Church, I would like to welcome everyone here in our installation of our new pastor, Pastor Reverend Edie Lenz.
Good afternoon. It's wonderful to be with you today, and especially I'm excited to be here for the installation of Reverend Lenz. Our Old Testament reading today is Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verses 4 through 14, can be found in page 639 of your pew Bible. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply them there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then what you call that when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. These are the words of the Lord for us today. Have you ever been in a difficult situation or a situation that you never expected to find yourself in? While this scripture today was spoken to a people that were disobedient to God, it speaks to all of us who are asking the question, how do we live life today? Or how do we deal with our own very difficult situation? So as I was writing my sermon, I was thinking of Pastor Edie. And Pastor Edie was, so for those of you who don't know, I am a minister in the Reformed Church of America, which is the same denomination as Pastor and Lenz. And I was thinking of her because I remember when she was an urban pastor at the Church of the Good News and how she was doing everything she could to have that be a vibrant church. It was an urban church. It was a church that served many low-income folks and was diverse. And she was bringing her enormous talents to it when our denomination, not our denomination, but what's called our classes, made a decision to close that church. And so I am sure that in her vision of ministry, that wasn't a part of it. And she continued to minister, and so she went down to Fulton, Illinois, a small urban community. And I thought of her because what I know about her in Fulton was that she worked and worked and worked for the welfare of the city, that she totally integrated herself into that place. So while she wasn't necessarily a rural girl who had been raised in that particular way, she and maybe she even had some questions about, Lord, why did you quite place me here? I'm not sure this is the vision that I had for myself. And she was there for 10 and a half years. 10 and a half years. And some of us in that situation would have said, well, I know God's will. I'm probably just here for a couple of years. But that's not how she comported herself. She worked for the welfare of that city, for the welfare of that church, for the welfare of that community. I even believe she was chaplain of the fire department, whatever was called on. So, and that's in line with what I think God's message is for us today. That, and I'm going to go back to Jeremiah here for a minute, but God called Jeremiah as a young man to deliver a message to the people of Israel that they did not want to hear. It would be a message about judgment and about hope. Jeremiah started his ministry in 627 BCE when Israel was besieged by Babylon. When most of the prophets were telling the kings that the Babylonians could never conquer them because God was on their side, Jeremiah was telling the kings to be willing to surrender. He lived in a difficult time. The people of Judah had already seen the northern kingdom take over by the Assyrians, and the people were deported. Now they were battling the rising power of the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar. As this new superpower threatened Judah, false prophets told the kings what they wanted to hear, that they would be able to resist the forces of Babylon. And I'm sure many of you, you know, how do you know it was a false prophet? Because they weren't consulting God. They were consulting themselves. They were consulting, you know, this is what they want to hear, so let me tell them. They said, God is on our side. God will never let his favorite people be taken over by those heathens who do not even believe in our God. And you can rest assured that God will never, ever let his temple be taken. Such a message sounded good, but it wasn't true. And more importantly, the message didn't come from God. God was speaking through Jeremiah, telling them not to resist Babylon and to surrender to them. Finally, in 587, the Babylonians crushed an uprising by utterly destroying Jerusalem. They tore down the walls and leveled the temple. It was sometime after that event that Jeremiah gave the prophecy in our text today. The first line tells us that the people of Israel are exiles in Babylon. Jeremiah's prophecy was important in more than one way. First, it called the people to repent and to return to the Lord so that the Lord would deliver them from the disaster that awaited them. Second, given their refusal to heed Jeremiah's counsel, his prophecy was for the people who were later exiled to Babylonia to understand their situation as it really was, a judgment of the Lord because of their sins rather than a failure of the Lord to save his people. So in other words, the Israelites had been very disrespectful, very sinful. And one of the things that Jeremiah really wanted them to understand was, this is not that God can't stand against the Babylonia. It is that you, this is my judgment against you. It helped them to recognize that the Babylonians were not more powerful than the Lord, but rather that they had been an instrument of the Lord to inflict judgment on Judah for its sins. It also gave them hope, because Jeremiah promised that they would one day return to Jerusalem. That promise lay far in the future and required that the Lord raise up Cyrus of Persia to defeat the Babylonians. Let us hear Jeremiah's instructions again. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. This is a call for the people of God to look beyond themselves and for the churches to look beyond themselves. We are planted in this particular city, and God wants us to seek its welfare. Often when we are in a difficult or unwanted situation, we want to resist, just as those false prophets were telling the king, this will only be for a little while, resist. But God had a different message for his people and for us. Have faith, surrender, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. While we may not consider ourselves exiles, we must remember that wherever our feet are planted, that's our mission field. The people of Israel did not expect the Babylonians to share their values or to worship their God. In Psalms 137, they ask, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I believe that is exactly what we are called to do. God wants to teach us how to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And in these verses, he gives specific instructions about how to do that. It seems there is always the temptation to wrap ourselves up in the cocoon of our own interests, our own home, our own family. But the Bible calls on us to seek the welfare of the city, of the state, of the nation. Just remember, Jeremiah was the only one telling a different point of view of circumstances facing Judah, but he was also the only one who was right. We would do well to remember that the majority is not always right. The people of Judah needed to listen to Jeremiah, not the false prophets who gave the message that the majority wanted to hear. The last thing I find in this passage is a message of hope. Jeremiah is a book filled with a message of judgment, but also one of hope. And verse 11 is one that could change our lives. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for your harm, to give you a future with hope. Isn't that what we're looking for? We want to know that God still has plans for us. We want to know that God is at work for our benefit and not for our harm. We want a future with hope. The text goes on to say, you shall call on me and you shall go and pray to me and I will listen to you. You shall seek me and find me. When you shall search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you again to the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. This hope calls to mind Jeremiah's acted out sermon. While he was in prison, his uncle had a piece of property right in the path of the approaching Babylonian army and wanted to unload the property. He gave his nephew the legal right at first refusal. Nobody but a fool would buy the uncle's land, but Jeremiah did and paid full market value. He had the deed placed in an earthenware jar so the deed would keep as long as necessary. He bought it as an acted out prophecy. For thus says the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall yet be brought into this land. He is saying it may not happen soon, but God will return to you this land. In other words, even for us, it may not happen in our time. And when I say our time, I mean what we, you know, in the measure that we think it should be. But the Lord is always on our side. And what we need to do is to listen for his voice. These verses remind me that in the Bible, the worst word is never the last word. There may be a message of judgment, but it is not the last word. The last word is always hope. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our God and we are your people. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us all this way, that we are held in the palm of your hand. We are rejoicing in this day of installation because you always say to us, stand still and see the victory of the Lord. And so today we are victorious and we are thankful for your word. We say all this in Christ's name. Amen.
I am assured that it is not a Presbyterian event if there is not food, and I'm glad to say that that is common in both the Lutheran Church and the Reformed churches that I have been a part of. And so that means that there are refreshments directly downstairs, and you are all encouraged and invited to come and join us for fellowship as we continue the celebration. And so, people of God, go in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be and abide with each of you now and forever. Amen.